둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Honestly, I've been hyped all week.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here for checking out the episodes. Please do hit that subscribe button while you're here so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday makes it a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones. Of course, you can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Org Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please also give a rating, leave a review while you're hanging around. Always appreciate that so much. We've had some great guests on lately. Akon was just here, Michelle and Deggy Ocello, Jojo Garza from Los Lonely Boys, Edie Brickell, the cast of Bad Monkey, now out on Apple TV+, Rob Halford of Judas Priest, Dave Navarro of Jane's Addiction, Jacob Bertram from Cobra Kai, the final season on Netflix, Nikki, Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin, Dave Mustaine of Megadeth, Paul Feig, who directed Jackpot with John Cena and Awkwafina. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Kiana Simone. She's starring in The Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eat. It's a movie that chronicles the enduring friendship of three women, affectionately known as The Supremes, who navigate life's joys and challenges across two generations, and is based off the Edward Kelsey Moore's best-selling novel. Now, Kiana, who also recently was in the short film Rebel Girl, we're going to talk about working in period pieces set in the 1960s and what it was like playing a younger version of Anjanue Ellis-Taylor, who's in it. She's also played younger versions of Oprah and Octavia Spencer in The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks and Ma, respectfully. Kiana is also going to talk about the importance of platonic friendships that the film portrays and why she trained as a boxer, and how the lyrics to Leanne Womack's I Hope You Dance has been a guiding light for her career. You'll get all that and more as we talk The Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eat. It's Kyle Meredith With Kiana Simone.
Hello, hello.
It's a pleasure to meet you. I cannot tell you how, well, I can tell you how much I love this movie. I went into it. I didn't read the book. I know it's based on the book. It is so emotional. And the generational storytelling, I mean, what a perfect film that you all have made.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's like, it takes you on a full ride. And I feel like no matter what point in your life you're in, you can relate to many parts of this film. So,
well, how did you get involved in it? I mean, we've been seeing you kind of pop up here and there, you know, for the last few years. This sort of suddenly seems like a very big moment in your career.
Yeah. Thank you. It's been a long time coming. I'm a patient girl, and I've just been enjoying the steps that I've been taking up to this point, and excited about the steps that happen afterwards. But specifically for the Supremes, it was actually really funny. They had me audition for Young Clarice at first, and I just could not get out of my head that I just was like, I'm Odette. Like, please believe that I'm Odette. So I actually went into the audition for Clarice and I read the lines as Odette. And that same night, my team told me that Tina wants me to come back in and read for Odette. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's so kismet. I was so excited.
Why did you see yourself? What did you see in Odette that you already knew was inside you?
It's something about that fire inside of Odette that I've always related to. And a lot of the characters that I've played have been very similar. And not to say that I wasn't excited to read for Clarice. It's just when I saw the description for Odette and I had already seen all of Ingenue's work, I was just like, man, I gotta get a chance at playing this character. Also, I'm not gonna lie, I boxed. So the fact that, you know, Odette does a little boxing.
Oh, that scene, by the way, and that, I mean, I think it's in the trailer too, where she says, "Take off my dress. I don't want to get any blood on." Like, that's great.
Odette means business for sure.
You talk about this similar character because you also did the short film recently with the Rebel Girls as well. What is it like? I think you're already kind of talking about it, but there are these similarities, like these. These strong roles, I guess, is what we're talking about here. But and it doesn't hurt that I think that one's also set in the 60s. Like, you've sort of found yourself in this space in your career.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've been in the period piece realm for quite a bit of time, for sure. And I love it. I love it because I feel like there's so many ways to tell our stories from the 50s, 60s, and 70s that have many different angles, you know, from the point of view of young girls, young teens, young women, and how they persevered or just lived through that time. So the similarity between Bertha from the Rebel Girls and Odette from the Supremes, it's like uncanny. They both have dads that are boxers, and they both are like, I am ready to fight anybody that tries to get in the way of my freedom, whether it be physical or mental or emotional, or my friend's freedom. So it's just, I get really empowered playing those types of characters, definitely when they represent a person that, even though they seem tough as nails on the outside, honestly, their heart is so warm and soft, and they care for everyone around them. And that's a complexity that I feel like a lot of Black women have. I know a lot of Black women have, and it's an honor to, you know, portray that on screen.
It's really fun to watch you in those moments in this movie with the Supremes, because she is, you know, she's got that exterior. She's got that shell, that shield that she keeps in front of her. And, you know, and she's going to die for any of her friends and making sure that she's in front of them. So when you have to portray that softness, like, as an actor, because it's not a switch that gets flipped. You couldn't do that anyway. Like, to take her up to that point where she finally has to open up. Like, what is that moment like, you know, for you as you're playing her?
I honestly think at that point, you're just being, you're performing the inner thoughts of that character, how they actually would love to act. They would love to be very calm. They would love to be outwardly loving and things like that, but they know that they have to have that shield. And in those moments where Odette is actually able to, like, let it all down and be a girl and be a soft girl, that's all that she wants. And I feel like that is the most organic part of her. I think all the other parts are things that she's had to learn, defense mechanisms. But that's, I mean, we're just girls, you know? And at the end of the day, you want someone to bring you a flower and to say that they love you, and you don't want to have to be defensive or you know, afraid that it's going to, that it's all a lie, you know? And I think that's that soft part of Odette is a piece of her that she's always wanted to come out, but has been terrified of.
I love that you said that. That's all that she's ever wanted. And you see it in the moment where, the husband, the guy, I forget the character name.
Oh, James.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, when you know, he's out, he goes very, doesn't know what to say, but when he finally says it, and she's just like, yes.
Yes.
You know, like, of course, let's get back in here and get on with our lives. Like, she doesn't say that, but that's what it is. Like, let's just go back in the restaurant and get on with our lives because this is it. Like, I love that moment right there. It's such a small moment that means so much, you know.
It does. And it feels so, I mean, it just feels good when you know that you can be soft around someone. And that's what Odette and James have. That's the person that she can strip down and let it all out and know that he will always love her and support her and never have any other intentions in his heart. I think that's such a lovely story that they have together.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Kiana Simone. Now, you've, of course, not the first time you play the younger version of someone on the screen when they're on there, too. That's also become a trait. Right? Octavia Spencer was in there. There was the Henry and Lacks movie. I know that was like you've done that. And then you got Ingenue in here. Like, is there, I know this is a question you get asked probably a lot. Is there a process to that when you know that there's going to be two people playing the same person?
Oh, yes, for sure. I am the type where I love to do homework. I've always been a nerd, so. Doing research is something that I do not mind. In fact, I'm excited for it. So specifically with Henrietta Lacks and the Supremes, I watched a lot of Oprah's work and a lot of Ingenue's work. And leading up to the Supremes, I mean, I've obviously seen almost everything that Ingenue has been in, but like to sit there and really like dissect what I can of her process and how she approaches different scenes, different characters. And that's just from the outside looking in before I even met her. I was completely in awe and so impressed and inspired even more than I was before. I can gush about it all day. And then actually like being able to prepare together before filming was an honor in itself, you know, just Zoom calls, spending time together and conversing about Odette and the story and the industry, you know, in total, being a Black woman in the industry is just, it's a blessing that I'm really, really, really thankful for. And I mean, Oprah, Octavia, and Ingenue, like that's a good trio.
Not a bad company. You got all them on text blast? You hit any of them up?
We keep in touch. Let's just say that.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. But it is interesting, though, because for a lot of actors, and I'm sure there are variations within this, but, you know, you try to find yourself in the character to at least some degree. The truth, you know, we're taught about the truth and the character. But what's our truth in this character? And when you have two people coming at one for two different people, like you have to find that joint thing, what exists in both of you.
I mean, for sure. And I think a lot of that has to do with the beautiful writing of Edward Kelsey Moore and then Tina Mabry for the film. Like these characters are so beautifully fleshed out, so real and true that two people playing that character in different time periods, if both of the people are like really diving to that character, like it's just no way that it wouldn't be seamless. And I feel like that is to like we have Edward and Tina and the entire writing team to think about that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, 30 years, that's a good amount of time. Like people change and morph and transform over that time. So I also think it's beautiful to see like how Odette has like a different approach to the world from being a teenager to now being in her 50s. Like there's always going to be that difference. And when you find those nuances, it's like, wow, at the end of the day, like you are always going to be one person. Like there are going to be pieces of you that never change. There are going to be pieces of you that do, but at the end of the day, you're always that one person. I feel like when you see that in films like this, it just warms your heart And I think the Supremes really does that so well. Thanks to Tina.
So as a lyric, I think about when, you know, I hear, because there's a lyric that all you'll be, you are today, which is scary until it's comforting. Of course, I'm going to change and, you know, I'm going to, you know, become whoever I am through the years. But there's always that person that you always are. You realize that when you get around your friends from elementary school or high school, and suddenly you're that person again, you know, that's, you know.
Yes, no, that's so, I mean, like, I still get so excited over purple. Like, that's always going to be my favorite color. And the way I had the same excitement when I was four, I have it the same excitement today. And that's just always going to be a part of me. And I think that's just beautiful, you know?
With you and the other two Supremes, I mean, you're talking about Anjanou and the bond there. Like, what was that like? Because the chemistry between the three of you all, I would believe that you all are, have been real life friends for, you know, 20 years or whatever it is. Like, is that a natural? Is that organic? Did you all have to, you know, team building exercises?
No, it was so organic. Those are my girls, Abigail and Tati. Those are my girls. You know, when we were filming, we filmed in Wilmington, North Carolina. The entire time that we filmed, we kept calling it summer camp in Wilmington because the entire cast, like, we got along so well, we had such a blast. So like the chemistry you see on screen, a lot of the times they were like, okay guys, you have to stop laughing so we could do this scene. Like, we were all having so much fun, which I feel like is why we're in this business, why we're in this industry. Like, at the end of the day, we are creating and we came into it to play. And that's how it was with Tati and Abigail. I mean, offset, we were going to go grab ice cream and hanging out at karaoke. And to this day, like, we hang out, and it's been over a year since we finished filming. I think we really just got lucky that we were all cast together, because it was like, it was so perfect to me.
Because how rare is that? You know, you form this bond on a set and you become friends, and then everybody goes out and you don't see that person again for 10 or 15 years until you work together again. Like those rare moments when you actually have a friendship that exists beyond the set, like, you know, it doesn't happen.
It's so rare. But I mean, that's why this film is so special. Like, there was an energy just like flowing through the entire time of filming, and everyone could feel it. Like, this is something so special. I feel like a lot of things in me were healed just by filming. And I've heard that from a lot of other people as well. So it's just, it was one of those projects that whenever I think back to multiple moments, I just smile.
What's you know, the parallel is of course interesting too. And you've talked about, you know, the movie's ability to show those platonic friendships. And I think you said how friends grow to be family, mm-hmm. you know, and to see that on screen, but to tell those stories, I mean, and I, you know, thinking even further down that the way this movie, yes, we definitely get gut-wrenching scenes that are based in race, but to also just get these personal moments of pregnancy and abortion and what, you know, your day-to-day, when you rescue her from the house at the beginning, don't eat the chicken, that whole scene. It's like these real moments that you have to go through. I think about, you know, those other movie moments like Still Magnolias, Now and Then, you know, they're just, it's so hard to get that right. But these tells, like, I don't know. And again, maybe this comes back to the writing, as you said, and it probably does, but, you know, not because you all acted out of the park, like, to get all of that in there and still make it work.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just been long overdue. Like, there's so many nuances of friendship and relationships that we see them all the time on screen. And this is another version of it, a platonic trio, like, you know, three Black women that are growing up together. And there's something about knowing, like, okay, I can go to my family for this. I can go to, you know, co-workers for this, but I have these two women that I have been able to handpick, or in Barbara Jean's case, handpicked me. And I know that they picked me, like, in any, whatever was going on with my life, they loved me so much that they want to be around me. And that's a type of love that, like, you aren't just born into that. You have to meet those people, and the connection has to grow. And that's why, like, friendship, platonic friendship, sisterhood can just grow so strongly. Like, my mom always says, and I think it's like a quote from like the Boy Scouts or something like that. It's like, make new friends, keep the old, some are silver, some are gold. And like, man, like when you feel like, oh, those are my gold friends, sometimes that can hold more weight than that's my blood family. And that's like, it's just a really strong connection. I think it's so time for us to see that on screen this one.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Kiana Simone.
Outside of it, you already mentioned the whole boxer thing, which I just, like, to what extent are you pursuing that?
I know, right? You're like, are you willing to get knocked out?
Am I going to see you in the ring? By the way, you know I should for whatever it means. I'm based here in Louisville. You know, we're the home of Muhammad Ali and the Ali Museum and everything. So it's like, yeah, just in the area. So when you talk about boxing, like, oh yeah, right. That's
I mean, no, honestly, what was it? Maybe like 5 years ago, I went to a boxing class. Loved it. You know how you love something because they tell you how good you are naturally at it. So my ego was, you know, feeling good, and I just kept going. And I'm in classes. I spar. Someone's hit me once, and when I saw stars, I said, no more. We don't need to do amateur.
Don't need that bad.
But no, I spar. I like to just have like that as a sport, something that I like. I'm really into. Like, my favorite boxer is Clarissa Shields, and I watch all of her fights. And it's just one of those sports that, I don't know, it like, it turns me up. Who doesn't want to feel strong? And I feel so strong when I'm in the ring, even if it's not without any padding, you know?
What is the relevance of I Hope You Dance?
Oh, okay.
Being a great song, by the way.
Yes, yes, that's one of my favorite songs. When I was younger, I was bullied, you know? And my mom would always say, you are not going to stop doing what you love because these people are saying this, these people are saying that. And there's a song, when you get the choice to sit out or dance, I hope you dance. And in my fifth grade yearbook, we all had our senior pages, and she wrote it in there. And that was the year that I decided to do the talent show, which my friend and I, we like danced and everything. But I mean, my mom told me I could do it, and I believed it. And I went up there, and we had like the best time. And I was like, wow, I literally danced. And I was like, wow, I no one can tell me what I can't do. Like, I can only be encouraged by what people say I can do and what I believe I can do. So in middle school, I decided to pursue acting, and I never let go of that phrase that my mom always said. I will say, it took me a while to find out that it was a full song. I really did think my mom like popped it out of her head.
As we do, sure.
As we do. It took probably around like eighth grade, but yeah, that quote means so much to me. Whenever I, you know, go to another step in this career, I always put that hashtag, because that's what encouraged me to be here.
I love that. I love that. I love that you danced. Yes. Took that step and have that marker, you know, the whole way with that. That's beautiful. Again, so is this movie, with the Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eats. A fun title to say, a little complicated to get used to. Yeah. But seriously, congratulations on everything with this. And it's been such a pleasure to talk to you about it.
So great talking to you. Thank you for having me.
And my thanks to Kiana. The Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eats, out now on Hulu and Disney. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you leave so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. And please do remember to give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You'll get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Kirsty MacColl, The Beatles, Dusty Springfield, The Linda Lindas, The Walkabout Squeeze, Nina Simone, Sarah McLachlan, Ben Folds 5, Modern English, J.S. Andara, Haim, Portugal the Man, Bright Eyes, Lady Blackbird, Logic 1000 and Vagabond, Supreme Beings of Leisure, The Pogues, and my interview with Minnie Driver, who stars in season 2 of The Serpent Queen, out now on Stars. Just an example of what you can hear when you tune in weeknights starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news, and you can always catch me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith, so please do like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Thank you.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.